Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Tuesday, which means I'm going to be joined by my co-host, Coach Rob Regish, in just a moment. I just realized I forgot to put his theme music in. I've done this. This is the second time I've done this. It's because of my eye. I can't see. I can't think. The antibiotics they have me on are really affecting me. They make me dizzy. I'm taking vancomycin eye drops, getting right to my brain. Anybody who's ever used vancomycin infusion or intravenous knows what I'm talking about. It's nasty, nasty stuff, and it is affecting me. But let's go ahead and bring Rob right into the discussion here. Sorry about that, Coach.
That's okay. I'm actually starting to get used to it. So.
Did I do that last time too?
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Excuse me. Anyway, so before we get started, I have to tell a pirate joke because of my eye patch. You ready?
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about more serious stuff.
Sure.
Pirate walks into a bar, and he's got a steering wheel in his pants. Bartender says, "You know you've got a steering wheel in your pants?" And the pirate says, "Arr, it's driving me nuts."
Okay. Yeah, for a clean joke, that isn't that bad.
Right, right. And it's a pirate joke since I'm a pirate today. So you have an announcement to make, and then we're going to roll right into the show.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Al Reeves and anyone else that supported my friend Doug and his family in a very difficult time. I graduated high school with Doug. We trained together. We spoke every day. He went to bed last Wednesday night and didn't wake up. He was about as solid a human being as you could possibly imagine. So what I'm asking is this. If you've gotten anything out of this show over the years, I would ask that you please visit my Facebook page and support his GoFundMe account. He leaves behind a wife and four tiny children, two sets of twins, ages 3 and 4. So please visit Facebook /Rob.Regish, R-E-G-I-S-H, and support these folks during a very trying time. It would mean a lot to me.
Al Reeves is a solid dude. He bought a case of Thrive and had it shipped to Sweden so that he could take it back to the UK with him. And he loves it. He loves it. In fact, I put his picture and his testimonial up on ThriveProtein.com.
Oh, that's fantastic. Al said, yeah, he is, man. He's a great guy. He
was but I mean, he's in amazing shape. I think he's in his 40s now.
Yeah.
He's in amazing shape. I mean, he's in contest-ready condition, and I know he competes.
Wow, yeah, some of these guys are real specimens. I should be listening to them instead of the other way around.
That's funny. We have a question from Rob Owens. He says, I'm a 50-year-old Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. What supplements would you recommend?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, right? So we're kind of in the same boat. I'm almost age 50. I've been taking jiu-jitsu for 2.5 years. And I'm assuming he also trains with weights. So the question becomes, what is most beneficial from a supplement standpoint for jiu-jitsu? And I would tell you, first and foremost, focus on those agents for recovery. Because the balancing act between the weight room workouts and jiu-jitsu is, I've never seen anything else like it. They're both very intense activities. Weight training is a little more controlled than jiu-jitsu. But suffice it to say, you're burning the candle at both ends there. So there are a number of things from a supplement perspective that can help. The very first of which is essential amino acids. Flooding your body with essential aminos during training and during jiu-jitsu is about the best idea that I can give you to accelerate recovery. The other thing that shows up real fast is this. Everyone has a gas tank. And the more power you use, the faster that gas tank goes down. The heavier you are relative to, you know, pound for pound strong, the faster that gas tank goes down. So it pays to steer clear of something like, say, creatine monohydrate because of all the extra water that it brings on. Instead, something like crealkaline or creatine hydrochloride would be very beneficial because they bring all of the benefits of creatine without the water. I won't get into the creatine wars, but suffice it to say, they're both much more efficient forms of creatine monohydrate. 500 milligrams of crealkaline is equivalent to 5 grams of straight creatine mono. So there would be some other suggestions. I would also tell you beta-alanine is a winner. It's just, it's very simple. It works in the real world. It works in the studies. If you're looking for a one-stop shopping solution without the creatine, it's all about Synthogen. And I know it's my product and, you know, people think I'm pimping it for that. But when recovery's the name of the game, that is the product. Additional thoughts. Jiu-jitsu takes a lot of energy, as does weight training. But jiu-jitsu in particular taps all three different energy systems, ATP, lactic acid, and VO2 max. And there, something like EFX's Carbolin is going to really, really help you out. I like that product a lot. High molecular weight modified starches, short, medium, and long. They're tailored from corn, potato, and rice. And yes, you will feel the difference immediately. The final product that I would steer you to is Cordyceps sinensis, which is a mushroom, or more pointedly, the fungus that grows on a mushroom. Then there, the product in that category that I like is Cortigen 5. You will notice a little bit of a bump in VO2 max, and every little bit helps. So I hope those suggestions are helpful. It's a tougher, you know, it's a tough thing to balance weight training and jiu-jitsu. So I know exactly where he's at. And that's personally what I use too.
So the only thing I would add to that is I would add a product that I've fallen in love with. And that is a product called Qualia Mind. Qualia Mind is probably the single most expensive blend of nootropic agents in a single product that actually works. And the reason I say this is because you don't have an unlimited amount of neurotransmitters in your brain. And fatigue starts in the brain. So if you're training some days twice a day because you're doing BJJ in the evening, you're doing weight training in the morning, or vice versa, you're going to get seriously depleted in neurotransmitters. That's going to present itself as fatigue. And you'll know it's fatigue because you'll start to procrastinate. Like little things, like at work, like you got to do something and be like, oh, I'm just going to wait till tomorrow. Procrastination is not a habit. It's a feedback loop. Your brain is telling you, we need to conserve because you could run out of neurotransmitters like trying to run away from a car, which is going to be more important than doing this task. So if you're doing two-a-days, you're doing BJJ, you're training hard in the gym, and you're starting to notice that, you know, at work you just feel like, oh, man, I can't believe it. Try Qualia Mind because it backloads all these neurotransmitters that build choline, dopamine, norepinephrine, and it only has 10 milligrams of caffeine per capsule. And while the recommended dose is 7 caps, excuse me, I'm finding 3 is all you need.
Wow.
It's really great stuff. And they're a sponsor now, so I can promote them openly. If you go to neurohacker.com, neurohacker.com, and use the code SHR, you'll save 15% off your order, excuse me, and they have a subscription program where you can save 50% off. I got to tell you, I was complaining to you about the vancomycin making me dizzy. I don't know what I would do if it wasn't for Quality of Mind right now. I wouldn't be able to do my show because I just take 3 caps before my training today, and I took another 2 caps before the show, and I can do my show. If it wasn't for that, I literally got here and sat in my car and thought, I wonder if I could catch a nap for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you know, that product is a nice breath of fresh air given all of the pre-workout, over-caffeinated pre-workouts.
This stuff is legit. You know, there's a lot of "quote unquote" over-the-counter nootropics out there that people take, and they go, I don't really see a difference. This stuff is legit, and I tell you, it's worth giving it a try as a pre-workout. You don't have to use a lot. You can actually dial in your own dose, in my humble opinion.
Wow, that's awesome.
The next question comes from Jason Lelou. He says, "I'm currently on a 4:10 schedule at work." 4 to 10 hours a day a week. I can't wait. I'm having a trouble reading this. Hold on a second. A 4 to 10 schedule at work. 10 hours a day at work. In light of last week's conversation about trying to balance life and health and family and all, not letting the gym be all consuming, is it possible to make an effective protocol to not be in the gym the 4 work days and make gains on the 3-day and weekend? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, me too. The unequivocal answer to your question is yes. And I absolutely love these questions because it forces you to think, right? We have 3 days within which to stimulate muscle gains. To my mind, the first thing that came to my mind was this: full body workouts. Right. The first day, let's call it, I'll say it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Monday, I would start your workout with something like trap bar deadlifts, working up to the heaviest set between 3, 5, or 7 reps. On those days where you're feeling good and you're well rested, go for a heavy triple. If you're not, or if you're really dragging, you know, you'll have a workout for 5s or 7, so you'll have 3 different ways to make progress. And importantly, that movement works more total muscle mass than almost any other. And the knock-on effect that the rest of your muscle groups get as the workout goes on is tremendous. So I would start with that. After those deadlifts are done, I would superset, let's call it dips and chins. I would do 5 sets, resting 2 minutes in between sets. The deadlifts, you know, you're resting 3, 5, maybe even 10 minutes in between. But now we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. At the end of those 5 sets, you simply tally up the number of reps the next time you perform that workout. You will just simply shoot for more repetitions, and you'll get them if you're managing recovery properly. After that, I would entertain ladders. And so as an example, you could perform seated cable rows and the decline bench press. The ladders in particular that I'm thinking about are 10, 7, 5, and 3 reps. So as an example, you perform your seated cable rows and then your decline bench presses. You would rest anywhere between 10 and 30 seconds. And then you would do the second set, shooting for 7 reps, 10 to 30 seconds. The next set, down to 5 reps, and then to 3, and so forth. 10 to 30 seconds after that, you begin your second ladder of 10, 7, 5, 3. And the goal is to complete 3 ladders, at which point you will have done 45 repetitions. It is a really slick, sneaky way to get enough volume into your workout to support hypertrophy. If you still have gas after that, you can do smaller muscle groups, biceps, triceps. But I think you'll find that that's pretty taxing, and you're really moving on ladders, okay? So the workout, as it goes on, the pace picks up, pretty dramatically, but you still get the benefit of that heavy strength work. On Tuesday, I would not touch the weights, but instead perform some form of high intensity interval training, ideally on an empty stomach. That can be sprinting and jogging. That can be the treadmill. It can be the stationary bike. It could be an outdoor bike. High intensity interval, at this point, there's no question that it's superior. Now, you will not be able to do that and top yourself every time, though, for the simple reason that it is a high intensity activity. So occasionally, to give your body and mind a break, do a low intensity, steady state session. Just walk for 30 minutes. Wednesday, we're going to go back to a full body workout, but because your force production is going to be down, right? Delayed onset muscle soreness is going to be peaking for most people. We're going to have a light day, but there's a purpose to that lightness, and that is this: speed. We're going to perform speed work. So as an example, you'd start with sumo deadlifts, 10 to 12 sets of two reps with only 30 seconds in between sets. You then perform the bench press, 8 to 10 sets of three repetitions, 30 to 45 seconds in between sets. And then a slightly below parallel box squat, 10 to 12 sets of two reps, 30 to 45 seconds in between. At this point, you are really going to be huffing and puffing, but you will have maximized the acceleration part of the force equals mass times acceleration equation. Most people are just trying to add more mass to the bar. With this workout, you'll be doing both. To finish that workout, I would suggest an ab exercise, either working up to two sets of 20 hanging leg raises, or you can alternate that with the standing cable crunch. You simply grab a pulley from behind your head, facing out of a lat pull-down machine, and you crunch forward. I like two sets, very heavy weight, three to five reps. And if you think about it, you know, you do a lot of your lifting standing up, right? Squats, deadlifts, you know, your ab work should be the same. The low reps and the high weight is simply due to the fact that it takes you between 2 and 3 seconds to grind through a heavy lift. If it's any, you know, if it goes any longer than that, the bar's going to stall. So keep those abs strong. If you still have gas, you can do other muscle groups like shoulders. But that's how I would tackle 3 days. You're going to have a lot of muscle, a lot of strength, a lot of speed, and the conditioning is off the charts, given a lot of the exercises are short rest intervals.
It's a very, very efficient approach.
So I appreciate your question. I loved it because it forces me to get creative. But that's how I would approach things.
Well, and you don't have to be somebody who's working a jam-up work shift.
Still there, Carl?
Can you not hear me? Can you not hear me? Hello? I'm talking. I don't know what happened. I'm going to run a break. Let me run a commercial break. I don't know what happened here, so we'll figure it out here in a second. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger. Get in better. better shape and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Imagine how successful your life would be if you could double your focus, double your mental energy, double your problem solving, your creativity, your willpower. Sounds too good to be true, right? That's what I thought until someone handed me a bottle of Qualia Focus. Qualia Focus is a mental performance formula that combines 24 of the most powerful molecules on earth to noticeably boost your brain power within just a few days of taking it, or your money back. Qualia Focus blows coffee away, but a serving actually has less caffeine than a cup of coffee. That's because it boosts brain power the healthy way. Just go to neurohacker.com. That's NEUROHACKER.com and enter coupon code SHR at checkout for an extra 15% off. And a serving of Qualia Focus costs 1/5 of that coffee you're drinking right now. Unlike coffee, Qualia Focus nourishes your brain in a comprehensive, healthy way for amazing brain power you noticed in just a couple days. That's neurohacker.com to try Qualia Focus and discount code SHR at checkout for an extra 15% off. All backed by a 100-day money-back guarantee. Qualia Focus is a life changer, I promise you. Try it now for amazing brain power at neurohacker.com.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl-L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Rob, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Where did you lose me?
I don't know. It wasn't important. I mean, we could get back to it, but you had covered your topic pretty thoroughly at that point. So.
Okay, good.
Let's move on. So did you happen to catch my grapefruit show with Adam Lamb the other day?
Yes, I did. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, but what I heard was pretty astounding to me.
So Sean Welch says, I listened to Carl's show on grapefruit last week. I'm literally seeing words where there aren't. Looking through one eye is really jacking my life up. I'm curious to know what your take on it is and whether or not you've experienced any issues with in the past. I thought grapefruit was great for dieting. So is cancer.
Yeah. This might be a short answer, but I'll give it a crack. So as I understand it, there is a compound.
Oh, no. There's not a compound. There's 24 compounds that all tweak different parts of the endocrine system in different directions. It's really, the grapefruit is a smart bomb for wreaking havoc on human homeostasis, but go ahead.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, as I understood it, the compound narginine, which was found in the peels and the leaves, was responsible for amplifying and extending the duration of a pretty wide variety of drugs. And you know, look, you know it's not bro science when you see it on the side of various drugs, right? They caution you not to take this with grapefruit or grapefruit juice. But back in the day, I would take that with ephedrine, caffeine, and aspirin, and, you know, thinking that it was going to amplify it quite a bit. I really don't recall the fact that it did that. But that may be due to the fact that I excrete, I'm a fast excreter of caffeine and probably other drugs too. Now, grapefruit and fat loss, where does that, you know, come in? There is a tad bit of truth to the fact that grapefruit can be helpful in dieting. Grapefruit juice, anyway, is a mild diuretic. It'll remove more than its weight in water, and you'll find that out fast when you drink it. You'll know where all the bathrooms are. given that show that I listened to, I would steer clear, way clear of grapefruit because of.
So there are, so naringenin is not the worst of all of them. Okay. The reality is that there is one called camphorol that totally obstructs the CYP3 pathway, which many drugs are processed through. There's another one with a longer name, that obstructs the CYP4 pathway. I'm looking for it now. And these pathways are both CYP3 and CYP4 are responsible for a great deal of drug metabolism. These enzymes are designed to break down. They are the ones that break down the things that are typically produced in the pharmaceutical industry. So those two pathways will dangerously elevate a variety of drugs, and including caffeine, by the way. But naringenin, which is found in the fruit as well, higher in blonde, lower in ruby reds, but still a lot, actually has a different effect on the CYP3 pathway in the gut, which actually blunts the uptake of some things. So you have one pathway raising levels of these things. You have another pathway actually lowering the absorption of other things. Like if you take thyroid hormone and you take grapefruit juice, your thyroid hormone won't be absorbed at all. If you take oral estrogen, it won't be absorbed at all because of the effects of naringenin on the gut. But the camphorol will make endogenous, the estrogen you produce yourself, go through the roof through the CYP3 pathway. So when you look at the grapefruit, like if you're someone whose wife is having trouble getting pregnant and she loves grapefruit, she like eats two or three a week, just stop doing that. She's going to get pregnant in about 2 months because grapefruit appears to have, through intelligent evolution, appears to possess a variety of polyphenols that are not good for humans and other animals too, I'm assuming. I think if you're a human in evolution who find yourself in Florida and you come upon a grapefruit field and it's warm all year long and you eat grapefruit for 6, 7, 8 months out of the year, you're just devouring them, your offspring is going to go drop. You're just not going to have babies for a while. So now, yes, there is evidence that grapefruit speeds the excretion of fat out of the liver. And there are even some people who think that the answer to fatty liver disease is to just start upregulating your grapefruit intake. And sure, maybe it does cause you to excrete more fat. But at the cost of what? Having complete disruption of your endocrine system? I don't think it's worth it. Hell yeah. So here's what made me get on this train. I love grapefruit. I eat one a day on average. I love them. I look forward to eating my grapefruit. And I started HCG about 2 months ago in conjunction with my testosterone. And I started noticing something. The days that I ate a grapefruit, those nights, my body temperature would go through the roof. Like my Oura Ring tracks my body temperature. Like my body temperature would go 1.2 degrees up and I'd wake up. I'd wake up in a clammy sweat. I thought I was taking Tren. This is what happened when I was on Tren. I'd be sweating in my bed and okay. So I didn't think anything of it. I just found out, hold on a second. There's a mute. See, this is my problem with my eye. Okay. So I hit a button and I was muted going somewhere. I don't know where it was, but it got recorded. But anyway, so what ended up happening was I had two grapefruits one day, right? Because right. I love them. I keep them in the refrigerator at the studio, organic grapefruits. I ate two of them one day and I took my HCG shot before bed like I normally do. And I woke up at 3 a.m. with like menopause level hot flash.
Wow.
I was like, oh man, something's wrong. My skin was warm, clammy. I was sweating, my shoulders, my neck. I was sweating and I had anxiety. I was like, man, what is this? And then I realized, man, this sounds like what women complain about when they go through menopause.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I wonder what the grapefruit is doing. Then I started reading the research. I was like, holy crap. Like, why would anyone tell someone to eat a grapefruit? When you start looking at the research, you go, holy S. Like, if you're a guy in andropause, never eat grapefruit. It's going to F you up. If you're a woman going through menopause and you're even on HRT, never eat grapefruit. It's just going to F you up.
I would think, like blood pressure medications, that would be very
dangerous.
Listen,
people have died. So they only discovered grapefruit did this in 1987, right? People have died because they went on vacation. And they took their blood pressure medication, and it was a Mexican resort, and they're drinking fresh squeezed grapefruit juice. They're eating grapefruit, and all of a sudden, they pass out. Wow, what's wrong with them? His blood pressure is non-existent. What's going on? And they get up to the hospital, and they're dead. Happened? No, we don't know. Then someone caught it in time, and the person said, well, I've been drinking a lot of grapefruit. And then they started to look. They started doing the research on the grapefruit's effect on the CYP3 and 4 pathway, but more importantly on the cytochrome P450 enzyme in general cascade. It affects the whole cascade. It's an aromatase inhibitor.
Wow.
But who cares if it makes your estrogen levels go through the roof anyway? I mean, it affects metabolically and hormonally. It is a smart bomb. It is a smart bomb. If you wanted to create a fruit in the lab that would literally, over time, make people sick and feel like crap and not be able to have normal lives, it's the grapefruit.
You know, it's just that's another reason to listen to SHR because I would have been the last person that thought, hey, grapefruit is that bad for you.
Think about this. If you take oral estrogen, it lowers the absorption, but it also raises the circulating estrogen in your body through the roof at the same time.
That's crazy. Really crazy.
Yeah. It's dangerous stuff. It really is. And this is why I say, you know, every pharmaceutical drug was first discovered in nature. So food is, in fact, and can have drug-like effects. All right, let me go to the next question here. Bear with me for a second. This one-eye thing is really getting boring, man. I'm telling you something. All right, so the next question, we got Sean Welch. Let's see who this is. We got that one. Okay, so the next question comes from Sean Zeipel. He says, I heard your show on Rhabdo and just wondered how you're doing. Also, what are the warning signs and how might I know if I have it?
Yeah. Well, Rhabdo, right? Something near and dear to my heart. I appreciate your concern, Sean. So let me back up and we'll take this from the top. And then I'll get to warning signs that hopefully can help you never have to go through this. So I had a bout with rhabdo recently, maybe 3 weeks ago. This was, sadly, the fourth or fifth time I've been in the hospital for it. It was, gratefully, a much milder version this time. The first time I went in, I had CK levels of 13,725. And I know that because I knew people wouldn't believe it. And I took a screen print of the PDF lab panels. But this past time, when I went in, my CK levels were 1,500. And so the scale that they were using went from like 45 to, 200. So 1,500 is still quite a bit above. It was enough to this time for me to see what I thought was blood in my urine. And in fact, believe me, it was red. It was red. And we'll get into that because Carl and I had a discussion about what it may or may not be instead of just rhabdo. But they hooked up a couple of IVs to me, which was, as I understand it, water with some sodium bicarbonate to alkalize the system and help the kidneys. The doctor saw the levels drop to 1,400 after only a couple hours, and he discharged me. With the caveat that I needed to see my personal physician within 3 to 5 days of discharge, which I did, and at which time he took another blood sample, and levels were down to 1,000. Now, I say down to 1,000, but 1,000 is still 5 times higher, right, than the high normal level. I had a long discussion with him about what to do because he looked at me at one point and he said, "You need to take 6 months off." And I looked back at him and I said, "I need to be honest with you. That is not practical. I know you're looking out for my well-being here, but here's how I would like to approach the situation. A few days ago, I had labs drawn, and hopefully they're down further. I haven't got them back yet, but I proposed to him this. Look, I want to work with you to get my CK and all my other levels back to quote-unquote normal. And then I'm going to start back very slowly in the gym. And every 2 weeks, I'm going to be here for a blood draw to see, to make sure my CK levels are not getting out of whack. Whether or not, or when that happens, if that happens, I don't know yet. The thing I don't want to do is just play it by ear, stop seeing him, and then wind up in this situation again. So we get to warning signs. And this is kind of interesting. In all previous episodes that I had, I either lost consciousness, or was delirious. I couldn't tell you who the president was, what day of the week it was. These were questions that the EMTs were shooting. Were
was this while you were training or afterwards?
Well, it was afterwards.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Yeah, it was afterwards. But, the insidious nature of it is, in one case, I went to bed feeling fine, and I woke up in that state, delirious and lapsing in and out of consciousness. Now, so there really weren't any warning signs on that one. However, on another episode that I had, I noticed a dramatic drop in strength in the gym the day before it happened. I was struggling to get a one rep with things I was getting 4 to 6 reps for before. And I remember writing down in my training journal, something is not right. Dramatic drop in strength, more so than just regular overtraining. So confusion, lapsing in and out of consciousness, dark urine. And it started out with me as dark yellow. Okay. And I looked at that and I said, I'm going to flush the kidneys. So I drank a gallon of water over the next 2 to 3 hours. I brought my son home. I got back here and I went to use the bathroom and boom, it was straight red. And that gets your attention, right? You don't have to be a doctor to know that something's really wrong. And so it was off to the emergency room again. I need to stop doing this. You know, I talked before about one of my best friends went to bed Wednesday night and he didn't wake up. He was in the hospital the same time I was in, for stomach issues, but you can imagine, you know, I looked at my wife and she still breaks down into tears thinking I'm going to be next. My son, I had to break the news to him about my friend, and his lower lip quivered and he started to really lose it until I reassured him, you know, that wasn't going to be Dad. So look, build as many rest days, if not more than training days, into your schedule. You'll be stronger, you'll be healthier, and you'll go a long way towards avoiding something that it can kill you, all right? That's no exaggeration. If you don't receive prompt medical care, your kidneys shut down, you go into kidney failure, and you can die, okay? So those are the warning signs. That's what it is. I'm getting better. I'm going to, you know, continue that trend, hopefully. But Carl, you and I, before, were discussing.
Yeah, I want to get into that.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So
go
first ahead. Of all, the guy who wrote the original book on rhabdo, his name is Joe Cannon. He reached out to me and we are going to have him on the show. First of all, because he agreed. Well, he doesn't know he agreed. So when we did the show last time, I said to you, it appears from the research that myoglobin is a better indicator that you're in rhabdo than creatinine. And you said, you know, it's funny, my creatinine was only a couple points higher than the high side this time.
Right.
Okay. And so the number one thing is that doctors looking at creatinine may be misguided when they're dealing with people like us, and here's why. Unless they start to do research on asymptomatic, hard-training individuals, so, you know, maybe a group of 40 or 50 guys, a normal work week in the gym, and a couple times that week taking blood levels of creatinine and even myoglobin, and then saying, hey, how do you feel? You got symptoms. You feel like passing out. You know, is your urine dark? No. Okay, great. And you may actually see guys with creatinine levels at 12,000 that are completely asymptomatic. Because you asked your doctor a very, very intelligent question. You said, doc, where does rhabdo start? Like, if this is the high and low of creatinine, does rhabdo start 50 points higher, 500 points higher? Like, where does rhabdo start? The truth is they don't know, because they only say it's rhabdo when you're symptomatic and they check creatinine at the same time.
Yeah,
and
right.
They're also using scales that are created by average people in the population. I told you that Elisa's stepdad, who's getting older now, he's a big, strong, strapping, lifelong fireman and farmer. The guy, you know, lifted calves and stuff his whole life, right? Big, strong guy, right? Farmer, salt of the earth. But now he's had two ablations in his heart. He doesn't really move much anymore. He's got a little balance problem. He's got some neuropathy, I think, in his ankles and stuff. And so last time I looked at his blood work, his creatinine levels were way up. I mean, they were high. In other words, if the high end was 300, he was higher than 300. But clearly he doesn't have rhabdo. So my point here is that we don't know where rhabdo starts. And we really think, I think, that looking at creatinine is probably a mistake if we really want to talk about rhabdo. Because here's a couple things. So in rhabdo, in theory, glomerular filtration stops. Okay? Because your kidneys, they can't filter anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So theoretically, your blood pressure should be high. It should be elevated in rhabdo. And you said your blood pressure was not.
Right.
Okay, number one. Number two, many of the symptoms associated with rhabdo including the change in color of urine, can be experienced in severely disrupted electrolytes as a result of what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, that muscle damage.
Not malhydration, but
dehydration.
Dehydration. Thank you. And I started asking you questions. I said, you know, they may be chasing rhabdo with you, and this may not have been rhabdo this last time. You know, hypokalemia, which is low potassium, makes people delirious, makes them pass out. Sometimes they have symptoms that they've had a stroke, and they haven't. It's just like they give them potassium, and they bounce back. You know, you could be having experiences where you have a dysregulation in electrolytes. The whole electrical grid in your body shuts down. Your brain isn't going to work. Your muscles are definitely going to be weak because without electrolytes, there's no calcium channel activity in your muscles firing muscle fibers. And so they may be chasing rhabdo because you really did have rhabdo once before, and that, you know, could be the case. But this may not have been rhabdo this last time.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I asked him, where does rhabdo begin? There seems to be no consensus. And if I were a betting man, I would say that on average, people, right, they have tough workouts and their CK is probably transiently elevated. Where you'll get in trouble is the never giving the body the downtime to deal with that. But your hypothesis about electrolytes, I think, is a very good one. And I'm going to ask that those be on the next set of lab panels to make sure that those are optimal. Because, as you pointed out, they're extremely important. And, it can result in a lot of those things that you said, a lot of the things that were happening to me.
Well, and then let's be clear about something. So when you eat a bloody red steak, that's not blood. That's myoglobin. Red pink water that's coming out of the flesh that becomes part of the juice that when you cook that steak, you love that juice. That's myoglobin.
Yeah.
And so myoglobin is red. And so when there's a lot of myoglobin released from the muscle, it's natural for the urine to become red grapefruit color.
Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so again, it comes back to myoglobin. I think the doctors don't get it. And you know, with more people out there doing CrossFit, with more people out there training harder than ever before, we have a large portion of the population that's really training hard now. These doctors need to get a better understanding of rhabdo. And I'm hoping that when Joe Cannon comes on the show, we can really dig deep into this. I think he's going to have some really good answers for us.
Yeah, I hope so, because I'd love to pick his brain, so I'll be listening for sure.
So look at this. John Peek says, since I started supplementing potassium, I've noticed my urine change from dark brown to almost clear as water. I would need to add that, and I'm also off of testosterone. Yeah, that has nothing to do with your urine, the color
right.
of your urine. No,
wow,
I'm telling you, hypokalemia, a lot of people, my mother was misdiagnosed as having a stroke. And she actually had hypokalemia, and thank God one doctor caught it, and they were going to treat her for a stroke, and she ended up, they gave her an IV bag of potassium, and literally in 10 minutes, she was like, come on, let's get out of this hospital.
Yeah, the first time this happened to me, the EMTs, I remember them turning to my ex-wife and saying, based on all of our training, it looks like your husband has had a stroke.
See?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't pimp things, you know me. I mean, I don't even talk about my own protein powder, but I am introducing an electrolyte blend because there are electrolyte blends out there. People are going to be, oh, Carl, there's electrolyte blends out there, but they have all sorts of other crap in them, like B12, B6,
yeah.
Creatine, tyrosine. It's like, no. So when Elisa and I went to Ireland, we started drinking spring water. That was from a 6,000-year-old spring in Ireland. And on the label, it had all of the mineral levels, every single one of them. And we both commented that we noticed that we were urinating a lot less, number one.
Right.
And that we just felt better. when we were drinking this water. And we were drinking alcohol, and I didn't feel hungover the next day because we were drinking a ton of this particular water. I can't remember the name of it. I got pictures of it on my iPhone because I said to Elisa, when we get home, I'm going to create a mineral blend built around this 6,000-year-old spring water. And Dr. Jeff and I just texted a little while ago, and we've been working on this to make sure that it has everything it needs to have in it. Now we're down to the taste. Let's see how it tastes.
Yep.
I'm going to try to keep it flavor-free, but the calcium may have a little bit of a kind of bitter taste to it. And so if we do flavor it, it's not going to be lemon lime splash or, you know, pink grapefruit surprise. It's going to be cucumber flavor. Because if you ever drank water with cucumber, you know that it's really refreshing and it's clean tasting and it doesn't have a candy taste to it that you feel like you got to drink something to get it out of your mouth.
Right,
and it's just going to be electrolyte, not going to be vitamin B and creatine and taurine and tyrosine and all this other crap that everybody else's mineral blend has in it. No carbohydrates, no sugars, none of that stuff.
Great idea, man. I'll be all over that.
Well, get a load of this. So it's going to be called Boing. You know the sound like a spring makes, Boing?
Yeah.
It's going to be called Boing, and the tagline is put the spring back in your water. And here's why. Because when I got home, I called Deer Park and had them email me their assay of their spring water. And for every single mineral, it said from zero to this, from zero to this, from zero to this, from zero to this. And so I called them and I said, why does it have ranges? Why doesn't it have, you know, these are the numbers found in this natural water? And the girl said, well, we filter it. And so we can't guarantee those minerals will actually be in there because the filtration process removes a lot of the minerals. I called two other companies that sell mineral spring water. They all had the same response. Now, it could be none and it could be this. And I'm like, so let me get this straight. I'm buying spring water and it's really not spring water. It's purified water. It could be tap water at that point in time. You're just removing everything from it. And I felt like I got snookered. And so I said to Elisa, I am going to introduce this product because people are buying spring water and they think they're drinking spring water. Look in the bottle that you drink of spring water right now and tell me how much potassium is in it, and calcium, magnesium, right, phosphorus, sodium. Tell me how much of these things are in there. It's not on the label. It just says less than this much sodium per liter. That's all it says.
Yeah. Well, that's a great idea. I wish you a lot of luck. I'll be all over that product. I'll tell you that.
And by the way, strength in muscles is created by electrolytes causing gradients. Efflux and influx of calcium and potassium and magnesium is what causes. And that's how anabolic steroids work. They actually affect the electrolyte levels in muscles. That's why Tren makes you strong. That's why it also makes your heart beat faster, because it has a powerful effect on the electrolytes in muscles. So if you think that electrolytes are not that sexy, there's a study out there right now where they used deep ocean water and it improved performance in athletes, a little-known study. I think Adel Moussa talked about it last year. And it improved performance in athletes, and they attributed it to because of the concentration of specific minerals in it. Yeah.
Wow.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got a couple more questions. Stay tuned. You're watching the Blueprint Power Hour brought to you by CoachRobRegish.com. We'll be right back. There's a phenomenon today. So many of us sit for hours each day. Slowly, our bodies respond by shortening certain muscles. The psoas gets shorter and shorter over time. It leads to lower back problems, stiffness when standing, and inhibits your running performance. Now there's PsoRite.com. That's PsoRite.com. PsoRite is a device that allows you to stretch your psoas muscle and return them to normal function. And it does it better than any stretching movement or chiropractic adjustment can. You can use it in
in your home, office, or at the gym. Experience what thousands of people already know. Check out PSO-RITE.com and save 20% off when you use the code SHR.
Sleep is one of the most important factors in maintaining health and longevity. And in today's environment, with all the artificial light we're exposed to, there is nothing more important to use to protecting your sleep than blue blocking glasses. And there's only one blue blocking glasses that I will trust ever, and that's Blue Blocks, B-L-U-B-L-O-X. If you go to the website blueblocks.com and use the code SHR15, you'll save 15% off the single best blue blocking glasses in the world, because you can wear them comfortably and still function, watch TV, work on your computer, but it blocks all of the important blue and green light that has been responsible for shutting down melatonin production and causing people to sleep poorly. Don't waste another night of sleep without wearing Blue Blocks, B-L-U-B-L-O-X, tonight. Put them on at 7 p.m. and you'll be asleep by 9 p.m. and you'll get the best night's sleep you've ever had. If you've never used them before, you are missing out. BlueBlocks.com. Use the code SHR15 to save 15% off.
Did you know that the U.S. Department of Health actually patented cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants? So, clearly there is promise for CBD to help with a variety of issues. H-Hemp's U.S.-grown CBD system is fully tested for purity and safety. For daily balance, H-Hemp has the best-tasting CBD tinctures available. Their Super Breath Blast delivers near-immediate relief and relaxation while on the go. And for your muscles, joints, and temples, the Magic Balm works wonders. Relax and feel better naturally with the H-Hemp CBD system from hemp.com.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
And you cannot imagine how hard it is to press buttons that I normally just flick. It's unbelievable. One eye. One-eyed Carl. So Darcy Clark said this before, and I want to post it up. He said he's glad that you're still here.
So. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're glad too, right?
No, believe me. I'm real glad.
All right. So the next question. Hold on. I actually was prepared this time. But my face, it can't recognize my face because I only have one friggin' eye. iPhone. It says iPhone. It's not eyes phone. Okay. Now everything moved. Okay. Here we go. So Johnny Gray says, I've been a big fan of Jim Wendler's 531 forever. What's your take on it? And am I giving up anything by using it exclusively for so long?
Yeah. So, Jimmy Wendler, it was is a West Side guy going way back, and started writing a lot of freelance articles, and they were great articles. You know, he was not only funny, but he got his point across in a way that other people just didn't. And I don't know how else to explain it, but you know, that's him. He subsequently decided to write a book about 531, his training program. Which revolves around, right, sets of five triples and singles. There's a built-in deload week. There are accessory and supplemental lifts as Westside has. But he essentially designed it because he was sick and tired of overthinking things. And he just wanted to go into the gym and get stuff done. He didn't use the word stuff, but, you know, get stuff done. 5-3-1, I think, is best looked at as the slow but sure way to continue making strength gains. And I have used it. I prefer to use other hybrid methods. And so what I mean by that is this. 5-3-1, it doesn't require a lot of thinking. And some people like that. Some people like that. I don't. I love to analyze. I love to tinker and toy. And I do better, frankly, with, like I was describing before, one driver movement, be that the trap bar deadlift or the squat or you know, some other major compound lift, and then using various techniques like ladders and jump sets and supersets and all, you know, all that different stuff. So for me, using loading patterns and core lifts, I make faster progress. Now, where 5-3-1 is going to come in for a lot of people is they will make fast progress on loading patterns too, extremely fast. But what happens when you hit a plateau or you get injured? You're going to want to go back to something that's tried and true and slow and steady. And so that's 5-3-1. Now, I'm also a fan of speed work. Like you heard me mention the speed squats, deadlifts, and bench presses in a prior answer. I didn't see that addressed in 5-3-1. I suppose you could add it, but the fact is it's not a core component of the program. So I would tell you this. I would suggest giving 5-3-1, if you're interested in it, a good 4 to 6 month run to see how it suits you. Now, if you aren't appreciably bigger and stronger after those 4 to 6 months, then I think it's time to move on. But on the other hand, I know a lot of people that are a lot bigger and stronger. They've been on it. They continue on it. And occasionally they come off the reservation, but 5-3-1 is like a magnet. It pulls them back. And you know what? That's fine. You know, I've always said, if standing on your head and eating Pop-Tarts is what it takes to grow muscle, then stand on your head and eat Pop-Tarts. You know, 5-3-1 is a great program. At the end of the day, it's predictable. It is methodical and slower than other methods. But, you know, it's a program that's probably best suited to those that aren't in a hurry, right? But rather they value slower but steady progress. And as such, 5-3-1 doesn't appeal to, let's say, the 20-25-year-old, you know, 20 or 20-something set. It's going to appeal, I think, to older lifters. And look, it's well-suited. So buy Jim's book, read, understand, and apply. And I wish you luck on it. It's one of the better programs out there.
So he's been using it. He's clearly been using it for a while. Right. What I'm curious about is, it really sounds to me more like a powerlifting program. It's a, you know, it's like the 5x5s, or it's not designed or focused on hypertrophy, which uses higher volume. Or can you use this and just do a lot more work and create more volume?
After the main lifts, he does give you a lot of freedom in that template. So, yeah, I suppose, you know, to better stimulate hypertrophy, takes a certain amount of volume. You can add it there. But you're right. It's more geared towards powerlifting and pure strength, which is not a bad thing. It's just not everyone's cup of tea.
Right. Right. Some people want to look bigger, yeah, not just be stronger. All right. So right. The last question, if my phone, yeah, because it can't see my other eye. And, of course, it's high security because I have information on my phone that could end the world. So I have to have security on it. Tommy Cassio says, I'm what you'd call a creatine non-responder. Is there anything I can take to make it work better.
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts on that.
Yes, Dianabol, Amalekin.
Yeah, about Dianabol and Anavar.
Yes, then it works like a charm. Yeah.
So in my estimation, about 30% of the population is a non-responder to creatine, or they don't like some of the side effects like the excessive water. Some people get moon face. You know, I'm one of them, and that's straight creatine monohydrate. Some people are also non-responders because they habitually eat foods that are high in creatine. And those are red meat, tuna.
Pork,
you know, et cetera. Venison, it goes on down the line. And these people are already loaded with creatine. They start, you know, on creatine mono and it's doing nothing. And they're wondering why. That's part of the reason. Still other people, they are still using plain creatine monohydrate, which sits in the stomach, attracts water, and the next thing you know, you're in the bathroom, right? Basically excreting all of it, and fast. So what I would suggest there is to look for micronized creatine monohydrate. This is creatine where the particles have been ground down to be maybe, you know, 1,000 times smaller. And as such, it passes through the stomach much easier, reaching the small intestine where it's absorbed into the bloodstream.
And it mixes a lot easier too, right?
And it sure mixes a lot easier. You know,
so chances are if your creatine, after you give it a stir, sinks back to the bottom of the glass, you're not absorbing much of it.
No, and that really was true, especially for the first stuff that came out. It was incredibly difficult. It was like, you know, sand. So, okay, so there are a couple other things that are going to help creatine get absorbed. First and foremost on that list is a pinch of sodium. You know, the fact of the matter is that creatine absorption and uptake is more dependent on sodium than even insulin. And if you remember way back when, they discovered that consuming creatine with high glycemic index carbohydrates like dextrose increased, you know, uptake and utilization. Okay, great. But who wants all that sugar? You know, what it's doing to the rest of you. So the question becomes, is there anything besides sodium? Taking it with meals, a large caloric load, inclusive of some carbohydrates, helps. Something else that helps if you're still not getting results is to take creatine with a gram to a gram and a half of fenugreek. Fenugreek has compounds in it, including a fiber, that slows digestion, if you will, and it keeps it in the small intestine longer. Other things that help include R-alpha-lipoic acid, which has been shown to be what?
Insulin mimetic. And right. that was the go-to thing, right? It was 40 grams of protein, 5 grams of creatine, 40 grams of whey protein, 60 to 80 grams of dextrose, and 100 to 200 milligrams of R-ALA was the quote-unquote magic bullet back in the day when everybody was doing creatine post-workout drinks. It was supposed to not only spike insulin, but add to the insulin because R-ALA was an insulin mimetic. It acted like insulin.
Right. And so I would tell you also, if that is still not getting it done, there are two alternative forms of creatine that I like a lot. The first is Crealkaline. I've spoken to that earlier. The second is creatine hydrochloride. And I was on that from the get-go, and the studies that are coming out now are backing me up on that. It is simply a much more efficiently absorbed version. I use it, as an example, in Progenidrex along with disodium phosphate and the R isomer of alpha lipoic acid, which we just went over, are crucial, right, for absorption. So, you know, I hope those suggestions help. It is possible you're a non-responder because you're eating a lot of foods high in creatine. But I'll tell you this, the fenugreek trick did it for me. You know, I went from getting almost nothing out of creatine to gaining 10 pounds in 9 days. A lot of it in the muscle. And that was only true when I used fenugreek. So there is one other compound which I consider the best. I rolled that out for my newsletter subscribers last month. But the rest of these are well worth investigating.
So Will Brink, who writes for Life Extension magazine and also has a blog called The Brink Zone, and he believes that everyone should be taking creatine because it has pleiotropic benefits much that go far beyond ergogenic effects in the gym. And he pointed out on my show not too long ago that all of the early creatine research was delivered with warm water.
Or tea.
Right, yeah. Warm water or tea. They were all hot drinks that the creatine was delivered in. Well, what we would consider a hot drink as opposed to a cold drink. And he says that his research shows that that is where the magic is and no one takes advantage of it. Your creatine post-workout drink should be warm, like a tea or a coffee. In fact, he has on his website on brinkzone.com, he has – so you know there's bulletproof coffee? Will has bomb-proof coffee, which includes creatine in your coffee.
Wow, that's great.
And you can go to brinkzone.com and you can see his bomb-proof coffee recipe. But Will says when you start using bomb-proof coffee, all those non-responders go, oh, man, my creatine's working for me.
That's great. You know, that's another absolutely. You know, if it's still not working for you, go there. Interestingly enough, upon discharge from the hospital for this last episode, the doctor looked at me and he said, and no creatine. We think that's driving up creatinine levels. And I just looked at him and I didn't say anything, but look, the only creatine that I take is creatine hydrochloride on the weekends in Progenitrex. It's not like I'm dumping 20 to 40 grams of creatine in my system, which, I could see the breakdown products being creatinine. But, no, not the way I use it and not the form that I use.
Yeah, they don't know what to say. I think that's the problem. And we need to have – somebody needs to do the research on creatinine levels in healthy adults that are asymptomatic after a good long week of training hard. I have a feeling we're going to see 20,000. And people are going to be like, no, I feel fine. And so that's going to shoot the whole high creatinine levels equals rhabdo theory right out of the water, right out of the water.
Right. And even the creatine kinase levels, which my doctor is going by, you know, I would, if I was a betting man, I would say that most people's creatine kinase is transiently elevated above the high end of normal. But, you know, with rest days and so forth, it comes down. That's speculation on my part, but I'm a pretty good guesser when it comes to this stuff. So we'll see what my doctor says.
And by the way, in Boeing, we have a form of bicarbonate. It's not sodium bicarbonate. It's a different naturally occurring form of bicarbonate found in that 6,000-year-old spring water.
When will it be available?
We're going to have – so I texted Jeff actually today right before the show, and he said we should have the next sample out to you next week. And so now we're going to taste it and see, okay, this is the formula. How does it taste? And if everybody says, no, it tastes good, I drink that, then we'll stick with the flavorless. If they go, you know, I don't know, it kind of tastes a little wonky, then we're probably going to have to add the cucumber flavor to it. And it'll be natural cucumber. It's not going to be like some artificial flavor. It's going to be cucumber flavor. That's what it's going to be.
I'll be all over that, man. My kidneys can use as much help as possible.
Well, and you know, and the other thing is, if you're like me, you know, you see me. I go off camera once in a while and put you up by yourself because I'm slugging away at my gallon jug of spring water, right? Mountain Forest spring water, which I already know it doesn't say anything about what minerals are in it at all. So I know it doesn't have any. But think about this. That's actually leaching minerals from my body because minerals attract to water through an osmotic process. And so what happens is if you're drinking water with minerals, it's not going to need minerals that it finds in your body. But if you're drinking water without minerals, the minerals in your body are just going to move into the water and you're going to piss them out. So drinking a gallon or two of water a day that are not don't have adequate minerals in them, you're actually going to rob the minerals from your body.
Yeah, sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. I would be all over this product, man. It's a great idea. Can't wait.
Very simple, very easy, and not very sexy, but I think people are going to love it. All right, look, thanks today, Rob. And thanks to everybody who watched live and asked questions. And also, go to CoachRobRegish.com any time of the day, and you will literally be stronger moments later. So check that out. All right, we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for watching today.
Take care.